I got $1 million in my 401k. Am I all set?
Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to episode 35 of Finding True Wealth. I'm Nick Hopwood, certified financial planner, founder, and president of Peak Wealth Management. And last week, we talked with the folks over at the Finding Flow podcast with the topic, How Much is Enough? And during this episode, we're going to be talking about, I have $1 million. Is that enough? And how I would address that question. So during this episode, I would love for you to think about this question. If I keep doing what I'm doing for the next 10 years, am I going to reach my goals? If I keep doing what I'm doing for the next 10 years, am I going to be able to retire on time? And if the answer is I don't know or no, then you need to be scheduling with me, whether you're a client or a non-client, you need to be able to answer this question with confidence. So people often come up to me and they ask, you know, am I going to be okay? Do I have enough to retire? Will I be running out of money in retirement? They say, hey, I've got $1 million in my 401k. You know, do I have enough? And they expect me to just know how much is in their 401k and give them a yes or no answer. And that's impossible. The truth is, it doesn't matter how much is in your 401k. It's just one piece of the puzzle. In my opinion, what matters most are your spending habits. How much do you need to live on each month? And if you can live comfortably on your Social Security and pension, then most likely you will have enough to last throughout retirement. But our culture is a culture of spending, and many of us have no idea how much we even are spending each month. So we need to write that down. How much are we spending each month? And a good place to start would be to double back and listen to episode 13 of this channel. So we have this culture of spending. We carry credit card balances. We take loans from our 401k. We strip out the equity of our homes. We're not contributing enough to the 401k to take advantage of the max, let alone maxing out. And folks, remember, maxing and getting the full match are two different things. Oftentimes, a company will give you, you know, 50 cents on the dollar up to 6% or 3%. And, you know, we obviously need to take advantage of that free money, but the maximum is $18,500 for people under age 50 for 2018. And for people over age 50, it's $24,500. So the max, those are those numbers. We need to be aiming for that max. We need to be following that income 360 formula where we're getting 10 to 15% into retirement savings. And, you know, we need to be aware of this formula of the income 360 because most people don't have those pensions. So they have that base income of Social Security and their investments and no pension. And then further compounding the problem, people don't start investing soon enough. And most people don't pay off their mortgage. So these are all factors of the income 360 formula. You want to double back to episode 9 to learn more. So if we can't live within our means during our career, how do we expect to live within our means during retirement? And we all want to retire to have the same lifestyle. We don't want to retire to a less extravagant lifestyle than our working years. It's just human nature. We want to be able to live with the same lifestyle in retirement as we did while we were working. And if we are a saver, it probably means that we live within our means during our working years, which means that we have a good shot at a comfortable retirement. So let's think about this spender a little more. He might be saying something like this. Once I realized how important investing for my future was when I was age 45, I started to put 10% into my 401k plus the match. But cash flow was always tight due to my never-ending bills. There was never an emergency fund. There's always a credit card balance. I was constantly applying for credit card balance transfers. I have a nice house. but there's very little equity due to my refinancing addiction, and now I've just retired with a brand new 30-year mortgage after my last refinance to lock in a great low rate. And Social Security is just enough to pay for the mortgage, but that's about it. And in order to pay my other bills, I have to take withdrawals from my portfolio. And of course, all of my portfolio is in my IRA because I was not disciplined enough to save money outside of my paycheck besides my 401. Therefore, each withdrawal is 100% taxable. So wouldn't it be nice if we had a nice non-retirement account that I could be drawing on and every dollar is not taxable? And this speaks about being diversified by tax buckets. We have our pre-tax, we have our tax-free, we have our after-tax. We need to be able to pull from different buckets at different times. So if you're the saver, you might have had a story that goes like this. Since my first job, I've been saving 10% into my 401k plus the match. I never had a credit card balance. I use my credit card for all my purchases, but I pay it off every month because I like getting points. I do have an emergency fund, which is equal to 6 months of my expenses in case I get laid off or I have a disability or another emergency. I max out my Roth IRA each year. I max out my health savings account each year. We also have a brokerage account where we invest a couple $100 a month. Finally, we pay extra on our mortgage every month, and we reduced our term from the original 30 years down to 15 years. And when I retired, since that mortgage is paid off and we're entirely debt-free, Social Security can go towards paying a lot of the basic bills, property taxes, insurance, vehicles, and we have a large portfolio of IRAs, Roth IRAs, HSAs, and brokerage account and rental real estate. And we need a reasonable amount each month to fund our discretionary spending, but our withdrawal rate from our portfolio is only 2%, and we have the flexibility to manage our taxes when we're pulling out this 2%. The saver makes better decisions. Both of these people are smart, and they both had a good living, but the spender's lifestyle was more extravagant than the saver's. And it goes back to making good decisions. You know, my why do I do what I do, is to help people make good decisions, because when I was a kid, I saw people making poor decisions, and as it related financially, it made it so they couldn't retire. And so these points here are all very important. They resonate with me, and it's my mission to help you make good decisions like this. So let's look at the difference. The saver is able to maintain the same level of spending with less taxes and less worry due to stock market volatility. But how could we look at some of these very small decisions, right? Or, well, some of them are bigger, but, you know, stop spending $4 on coffee every day, okay? Don't buy that second home. It's cheaper to rent in Florida in the winter. And for the mortgage, focus on the payoff, not the payment. Focus on getting it paid off before retirement. Sometimes it's only a couple $100 a month. And your kids, leading up to retirement, okay, you need to make sure that your kids are independent. You know, you cannot be supporting yourself and your adult children in retirement. No more loans to your kids because, you know, they end up getting forgiven in most cases. Vehicles. If you're only driving a few thousand miles per year, why would you lease, okay? They have these low mileage leases, 8,000, 10,000 miles. But if you buy the car and you're only driving 8 or 10,000 miles, this car is going to last forever. So I'm an advocate of buying a car that's 1 year old, 2 years old, and driving it and owning it. And if you have three vehicles, you know, couldn't you get by with two? And it's okay to have three vehicles as long as you're doing all the other savings. Eating out, you know, isn't it nice to have a nice home-cooked meal every once in a while? You know, look at these monthly expenses that you're tracking. Go back to episode 13 and understand what are you spending your money on. And chances are you're going to find some wasted money each month that you can use to put yourself on a better trajectory going forward. Point is, it's not how much is in your portfolio. It's how much are you spending each month that's the real key. It's the number one data point in your financial plan. It's not anything else other than how much are you spending each month. And what's frustrating for me is when people come in to see me and I ask them, well, what is your cost of living? And they just look at me like, what do you mean, cost of living? Simply put, I believe if you know what your cost of living is and you have the facts, you've solved half the battle. Armed with this information, we can set better goals, understand our capacity to save and invest, and have much more confidence in our future financial plan. So back to the original question, how much is enough? Enough so that you can take less than a 4% withdrawal in retirement. And I realize that's different for everyone, but when we look at our basic income sources and then the portfolio, we really want to be under that 4% withdrawal rate. So if you have a $500,000 portfolio or an income of $250,000 or more, and you answered the original question, which is, if I keep doing what I'm doing for the next 10 years, am I going to be in good shape? If you answered that question, I don't know, then give us a call, apply for an appointment online at peakwm.com, or reach out to me directly, nick@peakwm.com.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopley. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.